Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Gulf Coast Veterinary Specialist is no ordinary vet hospital. Inside this Houston-based facility, any creature, and I do mean any, can be a patient. Animal ER documents Gulf Coast existence Saturday nights on Nat Geo Wild. Executive producer Beth Patrick Jenkins joins me next. Also ahead, Game of Thrones off to the Emmy races again, SNL's Next Generation, our classic trivia question of the week, and we launch a new feature, Takeaways, mine and yours. Hey everyone, I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Block Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Happy to have you with us on this Monday afternoon of September on the program All About Television. It's a cool day here in the Big Apple, 77 degrees at the top of the hour, and we invite you as always to be part of the program. Great guests coming your way along these 60 minutes, and here's the way you get involved. You raise your voice, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to use your voice, you can use your words in our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You will find it on our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And guest 885 is already in the room. And while the program is on the air, you can connect to others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. Rex Patrick Jenkins from Animal, ER, and Actio Wild joins us from Los Angeles after these news notes. Game of Thrones is off to a second consecutive Emmy bonanza. After a weekend of non-televised award-giving in Los Angeles, HBO's landmark series has 9 awards, more than half of the 15 awards directed at the channel's content so far. FX picked up 12 awards, 4 for American Crime Story, The Deal vs. O.J. Simpson, and 1 for Archer as Best Animated Series after 7 years with that program. Netflix and PBS tied for third place among services with 6 each. Netflix's count includes 4 for Making a Murderer, which was named the Outstanding Nonfiction Series. ABC will televise the Emmy Awards this Sunday night, hosted by Jimmy Kimmel, and will be live to all time zones. Then Saturday Night Live writer Mikey Day will go on camera when its new season starts October 1st on NBC. Also new to the cast, Maya and Marty cast member Alex Moffat and America's Got Talent finalist of several seasons ago, Melissa Vicenora. And NBC will keep American Ninja Warrior going for a 9th season there and on sister cable service Esquire Network. And that's news notes for now. Usually, when we talk about National Geographic, when it comes to television, we talk about National Geographic Channel. But Nat Geo Channel is the mothership of what is actually more than one network. There's also Nat Geo Wild, devoted to the adventures of the animal kingdom, and Nat Geo Mundo, programming in Espanol, Spanish. Today, we focus for the first time in a long while on Nat Geo Wild. Why? Because there's a brand new series that premiered this past Saturday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Pacific Time. It's called Animal ER. It's also one of the first programs from a new production company called Propagate, put together by the former head of Alexis, Ben Silverman, behind such shows as The Office, Ugly Betty and Jane the Virgin, The Biggest Loser, and Howard T. Owens, one of the former key executives at Nat Geo Channel. Joining us live from Los Angeles in an interview exclusive interview, the head of development at Propagate and an executive producer on Animal ER, Brett Patrick Jenkins. Brett, good to have you with us.
Hi, Simon. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk about Animal ER.
It's a pleasure. So let's get to it. How did you and your team find out about this hospital in Houston?
Because of Howard's work at National Geographic, he's always interested in pursuing, you know, programming around some of the best kind of specialists and animal subjects experts in the world. One of their executives at Nat Geo Wild, Janet, reached out to us, and we kind of had a creative conversation about this space. We were all aware of the incredible work that they do down in Houston at GCVS and decided to kind of pursue this together and see what was really there. So we went down there to get to know their staff a little better, Brian and the team, and we're just kind of blown away at the level of expertise that they provide. So, you know, as a television producer, it was easy to see the authentic storytelling possibilities that existed there completely organically.
When you read about this hospital in Houston, it comes across as like the St. Jude for animals. It's like any animal, no matter what the situation is or how dire it is, gets into that hospital, gets treated, and which can lead, of course, to some very interesting situations, not only for the animals, but for the people who treat them.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the kind of place where you know, you could go in there to get your Chihuahua treated and a giant Clydesdale, a tiger or an alligator might walk right past you. It's a very unique place. And every time I've been there, that's actually happened. I've seen in some of the things you'll see in the series this year, you'll see chimpanzees get operated on. You know, you'll see dogs get helped. You'll see big ram horns. You'll see tigers. You'll see pythons. It's really special because of the variety of animals and also the level of care that Brian and the team there provide. They've literally got over 40,000 square feet in so many different departments that, you know, they've got underwater treadmills if your dog tears their ACL. They've got all types of neurology and everything in between. So it's a really special place. But most of all, what surprised me upon being in there is initially I was concerned that, you know, I might be sad just getting to see animals worked on. But when you get there, the energy that they've cultivated at this hospital can really change your life. It's so positive and uplifting that you feel inspired when you go there because you're confident that the animals are coming out better than how they came in.
The Brian you're talking about, Brett, is Dr. Brian Beal. He is a partner at the hospital. He also is a popular radio show host in the area. He does 10 to 20 surgeries. I'm not kidding. 10 to 20 animal surgeries a week. Plus, he has his radio show. Plus, he does a lot of lectures all over the world. What kind of person is he like?
Brian Beal is one of the most fun, I would say he's not one of, he is the most fun veterinarian and orthopedic surgeon I've ever been around. He's the kind of guy that makes science and care so simple that you almost feel like it's a conversation you're having like when you have a beer with someone. He lays it out so simply, but because of his training and his track record, you know he's giving your animal the best expertise possible. So he's a lot of fun to be around. He makes kind of critical care fun and exciting in a way that I've never experienced before.
Incidentally, I want to welcome into our chat room guest 894. Thanks for coming aboard. If you have a question or a comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. We'll put your stuff in our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name.
About Brian. One of the stories that you'll see, and hopefully Nat Geo is okay with me letting this one slip out of the bag, but, you know, if you watch the series, one of the things you'll see, there's a ram that comes in that has a problem with its leg. And so what Brian suggested to get the animal into it was to give it cheesy puffs. So like, you know, and so literally they got the ram into the room and got it to relax by feeding it three or four cheesy puffs, feeding it right into its mouth. And it's pretty incredible when you see an animal of that scale, you know, something that's 8 or 10 feet long, kind of go in with an almost childlike manner eating a snack out of a doctor's hand. It was really, really encouraging to see that happening and hilarious.
Is anybody going to get some footage to the Cheesy Puff people? They could use some wonderful national publicity.
They could use some press, right? Yeah, they should. You should talk to Nat Geo's ad sales department. I'm sure they'd love that.
All right, get them to work on that. That'd be dynamite. We're going to speak with Beth Patrick Jenkins. He is the executive producer, one of them, of Animal ER. It's the new weekly series on Nat Geo, premiered this past weekend. It's on Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And Brett is also head of development for the new production company, Propagate, from the founders of such shows as Ugly Betty, The Biggest Loser, and The Office. He joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. Delighted to be with us this Monday afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. Be part of the program. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or check out our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Friday on the program, a person who will be an Emmy contender this Sunday night for executive producing Master of None with Aziz Ansari for Netflix will be our lead guest. He's Mike Schur. He's also one of the co-creator and executive producer of Parks and Recreation, worked on Saturday Night Live, worked on The Office. His latest work on NBC is The Good Place. It premieres next week, I believe it's on Wednesday night, at brings in Christian Bell and Ted Danson, a nice pair. Michael Schur joins me live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Brett, once you made the green light to get the series off the ground, how long did you and your crew spend with the people down in Houston?
We started producing this series back in the fall, and we've had, you know, we've worked for months basically just documenting what happens there authentically. And I think that's one of the big reasons that this show is special. So much of what, you know, you see on television is contrived. And Animal ER, there's absolutely nothing produced about it. You know, we go there and document the doctors and patients interacting with one another as if they do when the cameras aren't there. And that's what kind of makes the show so special. So we spent several months down there working with their team, documenting them, doing what they do, working with the community down there in Houston. And then we selected, you know, the best stories that happened while we were there. And there's really not much we left out at all. And if you watch the series, you know, episode one aired this past Saturday, but in episode two, there's an incredible story about a six-year-old white Bengal tiger that comes in for an ovarian hysterectomy. And, you know, complications happen. It's normal. But I think what you'll see in the end is a recovery. And I think that's what makes the show unique and special, is that you've got literally the best medical veterinary experts in the world performing some of the most complex surgeries and operations, but doing it in a way that the animals recover. So it's just kind of incredible. So in the months that we were down there, we've gotten to know that staff so well, and I want to say thank you to everyone on that show, Dr. Beal and his staff, because they just made it so easy.
In that same episode, you also deal with an 18-foot python who is having to have lung surgery for pneumonia. You've also got a curacao, 31 years old, with a broken leg, and then you also have another animal that needs a hip replacement.
Yeah, that's correct. That python was, I tell you, absolutely insane. I don't know if you've ever had a friend with a snake who lets you handle it, but imagine the biggest snake you've ever seen. I mean, this looks like something straight out of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. But the snake was having a problem and needed care. And I think it's Daniel Iman, who kind of led the charge in helping the snake. And while I will say it's hilarious, the snake does receive a lot of critical care and does recover. But just wrestling, you know, an 18-foot snake, it's basically a giant muscle. And kind of in watching it happen, I know they initially, you know, kind of had a plan, but sometimes a snake has a plan of its own. I think as doctors, it's their job to figure out how to manage the stress of the animal, which they do a really good job doing, while also making sure it receives the care that it needs. And I really love that episode because there's a lot of humor in what these doctors do. It's not a straight scientific procedure. There's a lot of humor and levity that goes along to the job that they do.
When we think about shows taking place in emergency rooms, sometimes the conversation comes to ER, which ran on NBC for 15 years, won
sure.
every major award in the book. It was also a groundbreaker in terms of the fact that it turned the emergency room into a place of excitement because of the in-your-face hyper-camera work that went on. What rules did you give to your production crew about how to showcase what goes on at this hospital? Did you use ER as a metaphor or as a like model to do it?
We did talk about ER broadly, and I think, you know, that show was powerful, and at the time made a huge impact on the marketplace and found, you know, an audience that will never forget it. So I think broadly, yes, we did talk about that. But I think where that show was different is that it was scripted, and there's nothing scripted about our show, Animal ER. And so when we were, you know, discussing coverage on a show on the traditional ER show, if you know, George Clooney needed a wall to be moved out of place for his close-up, they could do that. We don't have those luxuries when you're in a real animal hospital. So as producers, we have to decide, how do we produce this show without without getting in the way of what everyone's doing there. So we did that in a couple of different ways. One, we used a lot of fixed rig cameras. We used, you know, the technology of today has gotten to a place where you can, you know, they've got cameras the size of a business card that can capture an incredible image. So on some of the close-up images of the surgery, we're using those fixed rig cameras, and that allows us to keep a safe distance away and not getting in the way of the doctors. And then second, the hospital went above and beyond, allowing us access, full access to the hospital, allowed us to kind of interview their doctors, get to know them, get to know their staff, get to know the techniques that they use to kind of help these animals in their recovery. So, you know, we utilized a few different techniques, and we wanted to capture the show in a cinematic way while not getting in the way of the care that needed to happen there. So that was our strategy.
How do you determine what incidents go in what episode? Because as you know, with nature programming, while you have the environment as a fixed environment, the hospital, you have no control over what animals pop up at that hospital, the kind of care that's required, who's doing the care, how long it lasts, you know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's a great question, and something going into the show, we weren't sure how we were going to manage that. And I think a couple of things happened. One, we want the show to have a balance. They get a lot of exotic animals down in Houston, but we didn't want the show to be strictly exotic because the hospital also does a lot of traditional domestic animals like cats and dogs. And as a dog owner and cat owner myself, I know, you know, seeing a dog come into a hospital, the care they receive, that's something I can relate to, and I think viewers can too. Everyone wants to know what happens if your dog comes down with cancer. What happens if your dog, you know, tears an ACL. Those are real problems that we all have to deal with some of the animals that are our best friends. So we wanted to have a balance of, you know, incredible exotic animals while also some of the more domestic ones. And down in Houston, because of the location of this hospital, you know, there's Houston is a huge metropolis that pulls in all types of animals. We had the luxury of really picking and choosing the best story. There was no shortage of great animals. So what you'll see in the series each and every episode is really a balance. You'll always see a few exotic animals, and you'll always see a cat and dog as well. And we really focused on the cat and dog stories that were different, that we felt like the owners had a really strong connection to them and also received a type of care that we think viewers wanted to see. So a lot of the balance, to circle back to your original question, a lot of the balance of the storytelling happens organically because this hospital is so special. All different types of animals come in each and every day. If you're in the Houston area, I strongly suggest, checking out this hospital if your animal ever needs care. You know, they truly handle everything and are well equipped to do so.
Houston, incidentally, is one of the most unique metropolitan areas in the United States because it's not just one downtown. It's like four or five different downtowns all within a huge, huge radius. So there's no lack of
Exactly, and there's also there's a couple of zoos in the areas. There's several farms in the areas. Let's not forget, Houston is at the heart of Texas, where there's all different types of universities, zoos, farms, ranches. There's all different types of animals that are at all of these places. So you'll see all of those on the show.
Animal ER is the new series on Natural Wild, Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern at Pacific Time. We have got one of the executive producers of the program with us at the hour, Brett Patrick Dinkins. He's also head of development at Propagate, the production company doing it. We'll talk about what else Propagate's got coming up in a few minutes. He joins us live from L.A. this half hour. And if you have a question or comment for Brett, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04Menendez. 894 is in the room. And stay tuned, because right after the interview, we'll have our Clap Your Trivia Question of the Week. And if you are first with the correct answer by the end of the week, you can win the wonderful new book, Twin Peaks FAQ by Applause. It's the new book about the classic 1990s ABC mystery series, which is coming back via Showtime next year. Brett, before we go on with the Propagate, there's an episode coming up on October 1st that is quite unique because it deals with a huge crisis that this hospital deals with on the spur of the moment. It's a situation where in a very concentrated period of time, they have to work with over 200 animals that were neglected in the area that were brought to the hospital by way of the Houston Humane Society. What was that like to cover that kind of concentrated, huge volume of patients?
I tell you, when we got the phone call that this was happening, I talked to the other producers, and I said, let's just make sure that this is something that we want to cover. And we went to the hospital and let them know our concerns, and they said, please, absolutely. We want to raise awareness around situations like this, which happens all too often with animals that we love. Too many animals out there are neglected due to pet stores. And while I've got many friends who have bought things at pet stores in the past, and I know they have a place there, this is not to say otherwise, we felt like it was our duty then to show these doctors doing what they do. There's not a lot of hospitals that would take something like this on. And at the beginning, it was chaos. Imagine 200 animals all have a different type of illness or issue. That's hard. And you know, Dr. Beal and his staff wanted to provide the care to these animals. So it was crazy. I mean, you had everything from, birds that needed surgery to dogs with disc problems to, you know, cats with crushed jaws. It really will surprise you. Going into it, I don't know if you remember the scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when the pet store catches on fire and he goes in and rescues the snake and the dog and the birds. I was really kind of expecting that. So I strongly suggest, your audience tunes in to episode 4 because it's a lot of fun.
Carl Co-Brennan will be on Saturday, October 1st. So let's talk about what's happening with your company, Propagate. It's fairly new. It's from Ben Silverman, who was head of Electus, company behind that shows The Biggest Loser, The Office, Ugly Betty, Jane the Virgin, so on and so forth. And I mentioned also that one of the former key execs at Nat Geo Channel, Howard Owens, is also involved. First of all, what other unscripted shows are you working on besides Animal ER?
We've got a few things going on. We don't take on a lot. We try to concentrate on really focused development and then making those great and better than anything you've ever seen before. Certainly Animal ER was one of those. We've got another show that we're doing with Apple, which called Planet of the Apps, that we're very excited about that. And that one's been announced and is in development with Will.i.am. So we're very excited about that show and excited to kind of push the envelope on unscripted and alternative storytelling with that format. We're doing a show with Vivica Fox at Lifetime that we're very excited about, Vivica's Black Magic. You know, Vivica Fox is one of the most talented actresses in Hollywood, and she has decided to start her own business in the entertainment space and in the entertainment dance space. So we're following Vivica and her team as they start this business and build it from the ground up. We're very excited about that show. We've got a couple of shows we're doing with the History Channel. One of them, Evil Genius, is about kind of the world's most complex and incredible criminal minds and the operations that they've built up. So, you know, a lot of people know the story of Pablo Escobar, and they think they know kind of his expertise, but they might not know. Here's an example. Pablo Escobar would bring in planes into the United States, so customs would search the planes, and they weren't able to find any drugs on it. It's because he would actually make the planes out of cocaine themselves. So what we're doing in this show is uncovering some of the most kind of incredible stories around the world's greatest criminal minds and the genius that they went to commit these crimes. We've got another show that is yet to be named called WTF, which is a working title, which is really takes a dive into the world's most incredible anomalies that are existing today, the world's most kind of incredible stories, and we're doing that storytelling in a way that's sort of never been done before. History is a space that excites us very, very much. You know, there's nothing that's really off limits for the History Channel, and I think what they want to do there is grow their audience in a way that's never been done before. So we're happy to try and help them do that. And then we've got several other projects, including one called Lore, L-O-R-E, which is based off the podcast of the same name. We developed that with Aaron Mankey, who created the podcast. Aaron started this podcast in his house in Massachusetts. He was a novelist, and almost overnight, it's become a worldwide top 10 podcast. It's a horror anthology. I strongly recommend you, if you like scary stories that are true, if you like horror stories, and if you just like, you know, getting frightened, I strongly recommend checking out this podcast. Aaron Mankey is truly the Stephen King of podcasting. And on that series, I can't yet announce who we've sold it to and who we're producing it with, but Gail Ann Hurd, who is the executive producer of The Walking Dead, who executive produced Terminator, Aliens, The Hulk, so many other great movies and television shows. She's our partner on that one, so we're very excited about that series. And on that one, too, we're trying to really push alternative storytelling in a way that's never been done before. So we'll keep you updated as that one develops, but we're anxious and already in production on all of those I mentioned.
And I'm looking forward particularly to Planet of the Apes because of Apple TV to see if Apple TV apps are going to be part of that series. And we definitely want to stay in touch about that. And I think lore sounds fascinating, particularly it could be a very hybrid scripted unscripted series. And what about scripted? What are you looking at in that arena?
We've got a number of, you know, we have a number of scripted shows in development. Nothing that I'm ready to announce yet, because the networks want to announce them. But we've sold several things, and certainly with Ben and Howard's history of success in the scripted world, that's a huge, huge focus for us. But like I said, we only take on projects that we feel are very unique and very different in the marketplace. You know, we're interested in developing our own connection with audiences, and on the scripted side, that's what we're focused on doing right now. So hopefully on our next call, I can tell you more about those projects and where they're airing.
The program is Animal ER. It is one of the first series produced by Propagate, the new company from Ben Silverman and Howard Owens. And you can find Animal ER on Nat Geo Wild Saturday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Check your local listings where Nat Geo Wild is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.natgeowild.com. That's www.natgeowild.com. And again, congratulations to the Gulf Coast Veterinary Specialist, as well as for that co-great episode. I want to mention the Houston Humane Society and also Dr. Sue Chen, who is very much involved with that particular episode. It definitely will be a stunner. Beth Patrick Jenkins, thank you again for joining us. Head of Development at Propagate, Executive Producer on Animal ER. Congratulations on getting the show off the ground this weekend. Hopefully a wonderful and long run for not only that series, but all the other projects that you're up to at Propagate.
Simon, thank you so much. I had so much fun with you today, and I hope we can do it again.
Me too. You got a definite invite, and we'd love to have you back anytime you like.
Thank you.
You got it. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Beth Patrick Jenkins, joining us live from Los Angeles again. Animal ER, Saturday, 10 p.m. Pacific time on Nat Geo Wild. Well, our Chronic Trivia question of the week, and we'll introduce a brand new feature for the second half hour after we give you some words from the fine folks at audible.com. Here is a wonderful combination. One of the great classic folk tales of all time, and one that's particularly near and dear to my heart because it has part of my name, Johnny Appleseed. And you match that with one of the great story spinners of all time and of our time, the wonderful host of A Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Kellor. Johnny Appleseed, Garrison Kellor. I'll bet you think it makes a great sound experience. And it does. And it's one of the new sound experiences you can get with a trial subscription to Audible.com. Audible.com is one incredible provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information with over 180,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now. Plus, if you sign up at this URL, audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook and a one-month trial of their service. So if you're in for a very exciting, unique experience like hearing Johnny Appleseed put together by Garrison Kellor, well, take my advice, get involved with audible.com and use this URL to do so, audibletrial.com/televised. One free audiobook, 30-day trial, great customer service because Audible.com is from Amazon.com, so you know the customer service is top of the line, and it's all there for you. So make a sound experience happen. Try audibletrial.com/televised, audibletrial.com/televised, audible.com, an Amazon company, and one great sound experience. We come back to our classic trivia question of the week, and we'll introduce a brand new feature in honor of our 10th year on the air. We call it Takeaways, Mine, and yours, and we want you involved. We'll get to all that after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the Kia D Unplugged Show. Text the Kia D crew. You know they're unpredictable with great music, great conversation, and everything in between. The Kia D Unplugged Show, tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back for the second half of Tomorrow We Televised. I'm in Applebaum here with you live from New York. Delighted you are with us on this Monday afternoon. 77 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, where we are originating the show from. And it's time now for our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. It's our regular feature where you have the opportunity to win a prize if you know your TV trivia. So listen carefully. We're going to give you the question. And if you are first with the correct answer, get it to us one way or the other before the end of the week. You can win the wonderful new book, Twin Peaks FAQ. It's part of the FAQ line from Florida Books and Cinema. Deals with the wonderful ABC classic mystery series by Mark Frost and David Lynch of the 1990s. The next year is coming back with many of its original cast members on Showtime. This year with Lynch and Frost will write the episodes together, and David Lynch will direct all of them. Remember Burl Ives, the great folk singer, Jimmy Crack Corn, Blue Tail Fly, etc. And then he became a wonderful actor with that Oscar-winning, tremendous performance in The Big Country, one of the great westerns of all time. You'll find it regularly on Turner Classic Movies. Well, he did a number of TV shows during the 60s and 70s, and we want to find out about one in particular. Here's our question. Name the 1960s ABC comedy starring Burl Ives, where he played a millionaire who took in a family with many kids in the deal. Name the 1960s ABC comedy starring Burl Ives. Do you know it? If you do, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and your mailing address, and if you are first with the correct answer, you will win Twin Peaks FAQ from Applause Books and Cinema. We also invite you to tweet your answer using this hashtag, TWBT. That's hashtag TWBT. And that hashtag option is made possible by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite you to create your own social soundtrack. You learn how from Marty Monaco and his wonderful crew at hopscotch.com. That's hopscotch.com. So remember, email, tweet, either option, it works. And the sooner you get involved, the sooner you have a chance to win. And if you just joined us and missed the question, no problem. I will post it tomorrow morning on my own Facebook page and my own Twitter hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's UBCSimonTWBT. Remember, you got to be in it to win it. So be in. That way you can win. And we wish you all the very best. Well, now it's time to introduce a new feature here on Tomorrow We Televised. It's one I've given a bit of thought to. If you're a regular listener to this program, you know that we have regular features throughout our program. Every week or so, we bring you, or every show, we have news notes, the latest breaking news on the television world, as we did today with, in particular, what happened with the non-televised Emmy Awards this past two nights in La La Land, Los Angeles. We also have Show to Know, where we highlight a program that we think deserves your attention, your viewing, and you may not know about it for one reason or another. And we invite you, by the way, to give us your suggestions, either using email or tweets or whatever, because if we use your suggestion on the air, we give you credit. We also do a thing called Up, as in Update, where we update you, catch you up on some of the guests and topics we have had on our program. Well, given the fact that we are now in our 10th year on the air, I thought it might be nice to try something new and to do it in a sort of a spin. One of the things we do from time to time is commentary. If we have a bit of time on the air, I'll do a quick comment about something happening in the TV world, or sometimes we will do an obit on a particular subject that recently passed away. We've done that quite a few times in recent weeks with John Saunders, the ESPN anchor person and host of the Sports Reporters, John McLaughlin, the Rockin' Group, and last week, Hugh O'Brien, TV's classic Wyatt Earp. But I want to do something that I said with a little spin. So I came up with this idea. We're going to give it a try in our second half hour. We call it Takeaways, Mine and Yours. I'm going to give you my takeaways on things that happened recently in the TV world, around the TV world. And I invite you, as I give my takeaway, to give us your takeaway. So give us a call with your thoughts. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. 652-2906. That number is good anywhere to catch us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can use our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name is this 894 is doing. You will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So even if I'm still in the middle of a thought, interrupt me. We want to hear you. Call, use the chat room. We will hear you because what you say matters. So let's give this a try. Here's our first edition of Takeaways, Mine and Yours. First takeaway, what transpired on television this past week? You know, a lot of people think that a week like post-Labor Day, there's nothing worthwhile going on television. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Well, if you were paying attention to what was happening on television last week, that was far from the case. And try this on for size. My takeaway, there is no longer in this era of plentiful, abundant, scripted television, no longer a downtime to introduce a new television show. No longer a downtime post-Labor Day. No longer a downtime post-Memorial Day. No longer downtime July 4th, post-July 4th. No downtime ever. Here's a little thought from that film, Mommy Dearest. Check this out. These were the shows that premiered this past week on television. FX premiered two series that got sensational reviews. Atlanta with Donald Glover of Community fame and Better Things with the voiceover artist of King of the Hill fame Emmy winner Pamela Adlon. And they both got rave reviews. And when you watched them, they were very unique shows. You couldn't classify them, especially Atlanta. You also had Discovery Channel presenting the miniseries Harley and the Davidsons. We just learned this afternoon that Harley Davidsons had the most viewership of any miniseries in the last couple of years on any network. Over 4 million people caught each episode over a three-night span. And then there was, also on Monday night, in addition to Discovery Channel's miniseries, there were the two new comedies on MTV, Mary Plus Jane from Snoop Dogg's production company, and Nicole Byers' Loosely Exactly Nicole. Nicole is a breakout star. She was on our show 2 weeks ago today, right after her MTV Video Music Award performance. Here in New York, New Madison Square Garden. She was just absolutely wonderful on the air. And I saw the show, by the way, last week, the premiere, and it was marvelous. She is a breakout star, and MTV's got a winner in that series. There was Queen Sugar, the new Oprah Winfrey Network series that is groundbreaking behind the camera. All the episodes are directed by women, led by the wonderfully talented Ava DuVernay, who will be here in New York next week, by the way, for the Urban World Film and Television Festival as one of its ambassadors. And most of the episodes were directed by women of color, just to actually get an Emmy nomination. It was a groundbreaker in diversity, and it got rave reviews all over the place. The photography, the performances, just incredible. There was the Russ Parr movie, Ringside, which may be a pilot also for a possible first-ever scripted series on TV One. That was on Sunday night, Labor Day Eve, and that did pretty good in two showings at 7 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. There was Quarry, the terrific new Cinemax series. Cinemax really has got 10 p.m. on Friday nights down perfect. They've had shows in the last year or so like The Nick, earlier this summer, Outcast from Robert Kirkman's production company, and now Quarry. We had Gregory Thomas, the executive producer and director of all the episodes, the Emmy-winning director of House on our show a couple weeks ago, and Quarry got rave reviews, not only for the kind of crime drama it was doing, but also it was very atmospheric, dealing with a soldier coming home from the Vietnam War, dealing with readjustment to society. It also has things to say about racism, the time of the period in the 1970s, and a lot of critics got it. When you have the Village Voice giving a rave review to a show like that, you know it really hit pay dirt. And on it went with these new shows. Every night of the week, you have something great to watch. And as I said, quality television each and every night all the way. So anyone who thinks that there is no day, no night in the year you can introduce a new series and do well, just showcase last week, and it will tell you everything you need to know about where we're at in this world of plentiful television. And I see four shows, even though it's early September, I see four shows that immediately can be Emmy nominees. I think Queen Sugar will be nominated for Emmys next year. Atlanta and Better Things will be. Quarry might be. So you got four shows off the bat, and we're just in early September. You know, next year's Emmys is next September. And that doesn't include, by the way, all the interesting stuff that came out this summer, some which also could be in the hunt for Emmy Awards. So my first takeaway of today, last week was an extraordinary week for television, and it was a clear shot at where we are at in this world of plentiful, abundant, amazing, scripted, and yes, also unscripted television, too. So if you have a thought about that, give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name, gets 894 in the room. My second takeaway of the half hour coming up, but we do want to let you know that coming up Friday on Tawabi Televised, we have a possible Emmy winner on hand, our lead guest, Mike Schur. He's the co-creator, executive producer of the Emmy-nominated Parks and Recreation. He worked on The Office. He worked on SNL. He is up for an Emmy Award next Sunday night for executive producing Master of None on Netflix. And he is the executive producer of the new NBC comedy, The Good Place, which premieres a week and a half from now, teaming up Kirsten Bell and Ted Danson. I believe it's Ted Danson's first NBC sitcom since those days of Cheers. Mike Schur will join us live as our first guest this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. My takeaway number two. It was a year ago that at Apple's big fall season preview event, Tim Cook made the declaration, and I quote, "The future of TV is X." And we weren't talking about just putting a video show or a network through Apple TV. He was talking about getting those hundreds of thousands of Apple developers to put on their thinking caps, get their imaginations going, and come up either by adapting their smartphone or tablet apps, iPhone, iPad, for television, or creating totally new things. And also encouraging websites as well to do it. And off the bat, he had Zillow, he had Airbnb, he had Guild Group, other interesting people in the web world and in the app world get involved. Well, over the year, Apple TV now has between 6,000 and 7,000 apps, and some of them are striking. We've featured a couple of them on our program since, such as Little Star, which allows virtual reality programming to go on the television set through Apple TV, and you use your Apple remote control or Siri or voice control to determine which way the picture goes, up and down, diagonally, roundabout, all over the place. And in recent weeks, we've had some other interesting apps that are groundbreaking. 2 weeks ago, we had Redbooth, an app that shows you how you can plan things in your office and things at home, from weddings to bar mitzvahs to travel to vacation to what to buy at the Lenovo supermarket, and in the office, a business plan, a conference call, et cetera, et cetera. And the Redbooth people told us they're getting a lot of attention for it. And then there was the announcement that we had as a news note, and we were one of the few people to cover it, Papa John's, the national pizza chain, with pizza ordering through Apple TV from anywhere in the United States or, for that matter, in the world. Well, this past Wednesday, Apple had its latest event, 1 year later, in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley. They spent an hour more on the new iPhone 7. That was expected. They spent at least a half hour on Apple Watch, including Pokemon Go being on Apple. That was expected. A little bit about Apple Music. That was unexpected. So how much time on Apple TV? Zip. Nothing. Not even 1 minute on Apple TV. Not even one acknowledgement of what Tim Cook said nearly a year ago. The future of TV is apps. How horrendous was that? How unbelievably gaulish that Apple, with hundreds of thousands of people watching, the press watching all over the place, a year after Apple TV got going, as we now know it, 6,000-plus apps later, Papa John's now in the fold, Redbooth now in the fold, virtual reality forming in the fold, goodness knows how many other unique apps coming up, and not one word said by Tim Cook and colleagues about Apple TV. My takeaway on that, one of the most blown opportunities that Apple has had in recent memory, and it is head-shaking, absolutely head-shaking, that Apple couldn't devote one single solitary minute to Apple TV. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear somebody from Apple TV's public relations or marketing or promotion department explain blowing this opportunity. And this is not the first opportunity that Apple TV has blown to talk about what it's doing, whether in Silicon Valley, whether in New York, whether before a national radio or television audience, whether before a national press audience through papers like the New York Times or the Washington Post. How can you be an Apple executive like Eddie Q, the person who runs Apple TV, and when you are going someplace around the country, around the world, not raise Apple TV up so that people can write about it or put it on radio or television? And how can you not use an event like this to at least update people on where Apple TV is at? Tim Cook, you made the call. You said yourself, exact quote, the future of TV is apps. Well, it's time that Apple TV stop looking in terms of promotion and marketing and PR of Apple TV as an afterthought, as Apple TV as a pit, as Apple TV as a hobby, the way Steve Jobs used to say it. It is no longer a hobby. Get that through your heads. You've got so many ways you can get your message out. Use them. And try this on the side. Do an event in New York with the press. Bring them together with Apple developers in the area like Little Star, who does the virtual reality app. And let's see the new apps that Apple TV is up to. And we just had a conversation with Brett Patrick Jenkins, whose company, Propagate, is going to do that Plan of the Apps series. If I'm the producers, and if I'm Apple, I make sure that Apple TV apps developed for the television set, are a big factor in that series, as well as the smartphone and the tablet, the iPhone and the iPad. That's another great opportunity that should not be blown. So takeaway number two, Apple, start talking up Apple TV. Don't sweep it under the rug. Make it part of your business, your Worldwide Developer Conference, your press events, getting Tim Cook on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert or Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Make Apple TV a integral part of your business, your promotion, your public relations, no matter where you are. Let's hear about it. If we hear about it, we can use it. And make sure also your Apple stores, including the new one in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, near where I live, and the new store at the World Trade Center complex, that wonderful, gorgeous mall in that incredible transportation hub that was opened a few weeks ago. Make sure that Apple TV is front and center there. Gets as much room, much space, much attention as iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, Apple Pay, et cetera, et cetera. We will follow what Apple TV is doing. And by the way, if Apple TV doesn't want to follow what it's doing, we will follow what it's doing. That's a guarantee from yours truly. Again, if you have a comment, want to hear it, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Got time for one more takeaway, mine and yours, and it's this. I think the Emmy Award people got it right in terms of their nominees, particularly in the category of made-for-TV miniseries. Every one of those nominees should win. American Crime Story, American Crime, Roots, The Night Manager, Fargo. They all deserve to win. And if it wasn't American Crime Story, any one of those other four could win. But I think American Crime Story is the runaway sleeper to win. And it may be what puts FX over the top over HBO for the first time ever in terms of the number of total Emmy Awards a particular network or service wins. On the flip side of the coin, who came up with the category of made-for-TV movie nominees this year? Did anybody see A Very Merry Christmas, A Very Merry Christmas on Netflix? How can you take that less than 60-minute special, which is clearly a variety special, and make that a made-for-TV movie? And then what about those extended episodes of Sherlock and Luther, two wonderful series with two wonderful lead performances, Idris Elba as Luther and Benedict Cumberbatch as one of the citizens of Sherlock Holmes? How can you take those extended episodes and come across to us as a made-for-TV movie? I'm sorry. Terrible selection. Three of five nominees that do not belong. The other two that do belong, those HBO movies all the way and Confirmation, I think All the Way is going to win. Love to see both tie. They're both great. Two wonderful lead performances. Bryan Cranston as LBJ in All the Way, based on the one-man show. And Kerry Washington as Anita Hill in Confirmation. Wouldn't it be great if they both tied on Sunday night? Like to see it. But next time out, Emmy judges, please know what a made-for-TV movie is and what it isn't, and don't use extended episodes as an excuse to put them in the category. There are enough nominees. Look at Lifetime movies. Look at movies on TV One and Up Network and other places and other HBO films and films on other networks, too. Because you had those three shows in, that means three made-for-TV movies who really are made-for-TV movies were left out of the picture. Let's hope this is a one-time-only faux pas. And I trust Jemmys. Make your move. Make it great for 2017. Well, those are my takeaways. That's our first shot at this takeaway feature, mine and yours. Like to hear what you think. We still have some time for a comment by phone call or chat room. So ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And if you are wanting to keep silent for now, that's fine. So email me your thoughts, SimonApple04@yahoo.com, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. Let me know what you think. And let me do this feature. I definitely want to invite you to be part of it, because that's how this feature really will work, because that's why we call it Takeaways, Mine and Yours. Takeaway. Mine and yours. So we'll try this again in a couple of months or a couple of weeks, depending on how we do on time. And if we have, for example, a half hour, we don't have a guest, we'll give it a try. And hopefully next time around, you'll be more comfortable with the feature that you'll be part of it. Okay? Great. So again, I want to thank Brett Patrick Jenkins, Development Head at Propagate and Executive Producer on Animal ER for being with us. I want to remind you that coming up, our lead guest on Friday's episode, the next time we are with you, is Mike Shore, the executive producer of The Good Place, the new NBC comedy premiering next week, starring Ted Danson and Christian Bale. He is also up for an Emmy Award this coming Sunday night for Master of None, which he serves as one of the executive producers. And, of course, he, when he was on The Office, he worked with the star of NAFTER, Aziz Ansari. So we're looking forward to having Mike on and talking about The Good Place, Master of None, and other things he may have in the works. That's coming up this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. One quick up segment. A couple weeks ago, we were supposed to have Nick Bashir. He is the co-creator and co-star of the new CISO series, Soulmates, which came out of Australia. Because he had a press tour here in New York that went overboard, haywire, lost track of time, he couldn't be with us. But we are going to reschedule him, and we have, for September 26th, Nick Bashir, co-creator and co-star of Soulmates, will be with us. I got a call earlier today from the folks at Fox. They'd like to have somebody from The Exorcist, the reboot of that classic horror film of the 1970s, on our program. And hopefully on Friday, we will let you know if they're going to be on either that day or on next week. And we are still have interview possibilities in with some of the other new shows that are premiering next week and the week after on ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox. And we are going to contact the CW before the month is out because their shows will be debuting in October. So if you came in late on today's program, or you are new to our show and you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we've had a lot of great interviews over the last month or so, as we are now into month number two of our 10th year on the air, just go to our homepage anytime you like and check it out. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out the podcast version of the show. You will find it 24/7 at iTunes. And speaking of Apple TV, at their iTunes podcast app. You can not only check out our show with that app, but other Blog Talk Radio programs are distributed through iTunes as well. That's the Apple TV iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV 2.0, go to your local Apple store or order it online. And remember, you can also catch me every Monday afternoon from noon to 1 local in the New York area on BK Live. It's the popular show about all things Brooklyn and beyond. It's on Brick TV. It's available throughout New York City on Verizon Fios, throughout Manhattan on Manhattan Neighbor Network through Charter, and throughout Brooklyn on Charter, which is formerly Time Warner Cable. Can't wait to set this on at the end. If you can't catch it live at noon, it's repeated at 2, 4, 6, and 10 p.m. Monday night. And also, the next day or so, it's posted on YouTube at youtube.com/BeerTV. Our first episode of the new season that we had this past Tuesday, because of Labor Day, with the wonderful person, Amy Dodson, from IFP, Invent Filmmaker Project. Our upcoming film week starts this Saturday. We've already had over 195 views on YouTube as of 10 o'clock this morning. So do check out our wonderful video segments at youtube.com/BeerTV. You can also catch my Marvin Televised columns posted regularly at Jack Meyer's wonderful site, MediaDose.com. It's MediaDose.com. I'll be covering an event Wednesday, which hopefully will be posted on the site later on in the week. I'm also on a new project on some interesting programming projects of one of the top TV station groups in the country. And we hope to have that one for you either by the end of the week or next week for sure. Remember, we would love to hear from you. How do you do it? Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. It's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Please include your name and where you're from. Remember, use that email or the Twitter hashtag TWBT to get involved in our costume question each week. You can also use that email for our show to know segment. Remember, if we use your segment or user ID on the air, you, of course, will get credit. Remember, we love hearing from you, so use that email. Follow me on Facebook. Find me on Twitter at UBT Simon TWBT. That's UBT Simon TWBT. I also post sometimes a stream of TV news and notes. We'll be doing that with the Emmy Awards next Sunday night. So remember, we love hearing from you. So tweet it back. We appreciate what you have to say. Why? Because what you say matters. Again, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. The creator of this very enterprise is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow We Televise was brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. You can listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Remember, you can get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised, Audible.com, and Amazon Company. For Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a great rest of your week from Monday on. We will catch you tomorrow. We'll catch you on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Remember, our lead guest is Michael Shore of Master of None and The Good Place, right here exclusively, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Wherever you are, be safe and be great out there. And until next time, stay well and stay tuned.